So before we get to John 1, the chapter of Gospel of John, this is our text this morning, we have a short Christmas quiz. Ready for this? Mental pencil styluses ready to go here? Okay. So on the way to Bethlehem, Mary rode on a camel, a donkey, Joseph's shoulders, or do I have no clue? Anybody want to go in A? Yeah. So the answer, the correct answer is B. We have absolutely no clue, because the Bible doesn't say. So take a look, see if you can find it, because the answer is there, right? Okay, question number two. Jesus was born in a stable, a guest room, a main room, a cave. What do you think? B, cave, okay. Anybody for stable? Guest room? Yeah, most probably the answer is C. The word that gets translated in actually describes a guest room, and that would have been on the upper level of the house, upper level, which was the house belonging to Joseph's relative. And because of the census, the guest room was full of guests, right? So rather than shamefully turning Joseph and Mary out on the street, Joseph's relatives probably invited them to stay in the main room of the lower house, which is where probably Jesus was born. Just possibilities, okay? We think, right? So some of you are probably way ahead of me on this. But part of the question is to really point out the obvious, to get us thinking that there are some really great traditions. But from December 25th, like the day after Christmas, from December 25th, all that tradition, all that happens and feelings can leave us pretty empty. In the day to day of where we live life, we need a whole lot more than that. See, John is writing about Jesus, who Jesus is. And we're going there this morning because in the beginning of the day of our life, we need to study the life that God offers to us through Jesus. And because there are people around us who also have incredible deep needs, and whether they understand or not, they also need Jesus. And because there is truth here about Jesus, not just assumptions and images that we might associate with Christmas, but the truth that is just downright exciting reality and truth that is well worth our taking the time to learn about and praise God for it. Who to base our lives on and why we can respond to God in faith. This is an incredible passage that John opens up to. So here's the big picture of where we're going this morning, who Jesus is, and what that means for us. We're together? Okay. If you're able, would you stand with me as we come together before God and His Word, and as we read together our passage this morning from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.
That's a lot, isn't it? Wow. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for gathering us this morning to worship you, for bringing us into your presence. And now, God, you bring us before your word and the truths which stretch our minds and go beyond even our understanding of them. But they speak of you. And you have preserved them for us so we would understand more of who you are and your great love for us. We pray, Father, this morning that you would open your word to us. Help us to understand more of what you have preserved for us here. Help us to understand more of your love. And Father, may we respond to you in ways that allow you to continue your work in our lives, that you, God, will be glorified through our lives. You alone are worthy. Father, bring us to your presence this morning, to your word. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would like to be seated. First one, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who's he? Jesus, right? John is describing Jesus as the eternal God. And so to get John's description of Jesus, maybe do a short word study here, right? Pun intended. In the beginning, in Greek, it literally reads this, in beginning. So there's no the in John's wording there. So it means that we can think back as far as we can think back, going back, and in the indefinite, infinite expanse of time of existence before anything began, space, time, matter, atoms, before anything began, the Word was. And was, in the Greek, is in the imperfect tense, past tense, meaning it just was. So put simply, God is his own eternity. God is. Which is a mind popper for those of us who have a beginning point and all of us have an expiration date, right? So in some to some extent, expiration date reality that's getting closer. Word translates the Greek word logos. You hear that? Right? So hang on to something. Logos, in the Greek way of thinking, would have a number of different meanings. The Greek philosophers used logos to describe the logical order of the natural laws of the universe, like gravity and mathematics and morality, and more so, what was behind the scenes of all that made that work. So to the Greek, the universe would be pure chaos without this impersonal divine whatever that they called logos, that somehow gave order to all of that potential chaos. So in some ways, it's kind of like the Force, right? Star Wars, how many of you saw episode 9? A few of us were there, okay? Those of you who need to go see it, it's okay. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell you how it ends. So John is declaring that the logos, this ordering word, existed before the natural order of the universe, before any beginning point in the eternal past, the word already existed. The word has no beginning. The word has always existed, meaning that the word logos is not part of the creation, but the word is what gives existence to the order of creation. Kind of together on that? Okay? So the Word gives existence in order to the creation. Point being that the Word is not some kind of impersonal force. It's not made up of metachlorians or something, right? that exists within what exists, but the Word is the very eternal divine person that intentionally creates and gives order to creation. Right? Still hanging on to something? I know, this is like jumping into the deep end of the pool without the inflatable rubber ducky. I mean, this is like, this gets deep, really fast. But hang on, all right? John writes that the Word was with God. And in Greek, John uses this preposition cross for with, meaning it's face to face, it's eyeball to eyeball, making those two persons that are intimate with each other. And John further defines that witness by saying that the Word was God, meaning that the Word and God they coexist together, which is a depth of intimacy that's greater than any human relationship, even husband and wife. It is an essential complete oneness of nature and essence. Nature meaning what God does, how God acts, essence meaning who God is, meaning that everything that is true of God is also true of the Word. It has been true, it is true, it will be true. And just in case we're a tad fuzzy on what that means, anybody feeling a little fuzzy? Okay, you should, because it's really tough stuff. John drives his point home. In verse 2, he says, He, Jesus, right, was in the beginning with God. Literally, he is in beginning with God. And John is choosing his words very carefully. He's leaving no room for misunderstanding. He was grabbing John on this. In that eternal existence before time, Jesus and God were together, and they were the same being. And if that's a mind blower, it is, right? The only one understands that is God. Chuck Swindoll, commenting on John's statement, he writes this: while the Father and the Son are distinct persons sharing the same nature and attributes, they also share the same essence. And by essence, Father and Son exist as one supreme being. And so pulling that together, John is describing to the point where Jesus is the eternal God. To say that together, Jesus is the eternal God. And then in verse 3, John emphasizes that Jesus is the creator of what has been made to exist. All things were made through him, through Jesus, right? And without Jesus, was not anything that was made that was made. Everything that exists can be put into one of two categories, right? Right? Which are what? Not created and created. Not created means whatever exists that wasn't created, and created means whatever exists because it was created. Pretty straightforward, right? Two categories. Not created, created. By definition, the only thing that's not created is God, right? The one God who existed before creation. So we're together with John on this. The reason anything exists is because he, the one not created, he made it to exist. Jesus, who was not created, Jesus, God, made what was made. And that is critically important for us to be clear on. In John's day, and every day since then, even today, there are people who acknowledge that Jesus was an amazingly unique person in human history. But beyond that, things get a little fuzzy. And many religious people will claim that Jesus was a created being, that the Father brought the Son into existence, and then Jesus created everything else. Or maybe Jesus was a spiritual being who took on human flesh. Maybe Jesus was an enlightened teacher or a human that achieved some kind of divinity. And even people that are claiming to be Christians, like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, they will stop at the full divinity of Jesus. Jesus is not co-equal, not co-eternal, not co-existent with the Father in eternity past. Jesus is not the God. And all that fuzziness may acknowledge Jesus as a baby born in Bethlehem with all the cultural add-ons, but it leaves us way short of any true hope for our life. And John is very clear. Before anything existed, Jesus, God, who is the creator, exists, and he, Jesus, created everything that was made, even us. And then John goes on, verse 4, describing Jesus our Creator, that Jesus is the source of life and life. In Him, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of man. And so there's two images there, right? One is life, and the other is light, right? And so we need to be clear on how John is using those two images to tell us about Jesus. Genesis begins with God, the Creator, creating, speaking creation into existence, and God filling the creation with life and vegetation and sea creatures and birds and all animals and creeping things. And finally, God goes on to give life to man, male and female, created in God's image. And John is saying that in the beginning, Jesus, God, created humanity and gave us life. Jesus is the source of all life. How many of you are alive this morning? Okay, some of you are not sure yet. Okay, keep going. Maybe you'll get there. So John writes that this light is the light of men. So light is something that hopefully when you go into a dark room at night, and after you stumble across all the furniture and stuff like that, you flip on the switch and light comes on, right? Light can also be a symbol of what? Enlightenment, gaining truth and wisdom, understanding. It's the mental light bulb that comes on. Hopefully if the switch gets flipped, that happens. And so light can also mean where we are at spiritually. So hang on to something. What does John mean by light? So look at the screen. What does he mean by light? So look at the screen. In Genesis 1, we're told what? That God creates the heavens and the earth, and the earth is without form. It's empty. There's darkness over the face of the deep, but God is there. And then God speaks and creates light and separates light from darkness, day and night, evening and morning, day one. We're together on that? Good. Okay. Then God goes on and starts forming the earth and creating living things, plants and trees. And then down to day 4, God creates stars and the sun and the moon. Day 5, God creates life in the water and birds in the air. And then day 6, God creates critters and creatures and man. Right? Go together. Okay? So question, if God creates the stars and the sun and the moon on day 4, where did the light come from on day 1? God, right? So flashback, right? Same place it comes from Revelation 21, where John is giving a vision of the city of Jerusalem. Remember this? When you look at the book of Revelation, and the city, Jerusalem, has no need of sun or moon to shine for the glory of God. Who God is, he changes that lesson, who he is, what he does, and he gives you his light. And the lamp is Jesus. Jesus is the whole thing that the light of God. Right, so before God sees light, God has filled all of creation with the light of His presence. And that's life. Every element, every subatomic part of everything is just created. He's filled with the truth of who He is, and if everything in His creation will testify of who He is, okay. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of the earth. God, the creation is all about God, the God alone. In the glory. I said, John's the thing. It's just the light shines in the darkness, whose darkness does not overcome it. That's where we get this, right? It's not contained on the sentence. The first Adam, at least one of us, is individually and personally, he is confirmed Adam's first to sin, which is true of all humanity. We're fallen. We have rejected God and the life that God gives that's given to us. In very real sense, we live in the darkness of our own depravity. And John tells us that the light, the glory of God, the creator, who God is, God himself, who he is, the love of God, has come to us in the darkness of our own society to restore us to the source of life and then know what it means to live real life in this life forever. And then John writes that the darkness has not overcome the light. And overcome, the reference to Greek words that have the idea of deceive, or to attack, or to overcall, or to mean to comprehend, or understand. Probably, John means both. So Jesus has come into the darkness of where we live our lives. And even if we don't get it, and even if we don't comprehend it, but we don't understand it. I mean, understand the incarnation? Are we kidding? No one gets that but God. And even if we resist it or we reject it, even if it's to the mind darkened by sin, the truth of God is just pure nonsense. The virgin birth is fantasy. The resurrection is foolishness. It's a cultural myth that at best it looks good on the Hallmark card. Jesus has still come to us. His creation. His work and His creation cannot be stopped. It cannot be overcome by the darkness of our own sin, pride, or betrayal, Satan. John the Baptist, verse 6, John the Baptist, who Jesus calls the greatest of all the prophets, John was given this unique role of preparing the way, of pointing to the Messiah Jesus, who is the very light of God piercing into the darkness of this world. And John working out what God purposely has chosen to do in His creation. John pointed to that. The work and ministry of Jesus cannot be overcome by darkness. Jesus incarnate and crucified and resurrected and returning, Jesus is overcome darkness. Jesus is the only hope. He is the only source of hope. And then verse 9, isn't it great? Verse 9, Jesus is the way to a relationship with God. Right? That the true light is the light of everyone has come into the world, and He, Jesus, was in the world. The world was made through Him. Jesus, but the world did not know Jesus. Did not know Him. He came to His own, His own people did not receive Him. But all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, in Jesus' name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, or the will of flesh, or the will of man, but of God. You know, my plug is to do it, right? You can do it, you know, so you can do it. So you plug in your soul again, right? That's the new thing. Provides all of the tools and exercises that you will have to apply this soul to what we need to do to the dark side of the best. Right? You know the greatest of all the top of fear that you hear is the world. But if people living where we live, you can see you're going to have to get that message. You can choose to live in the dark. The light is available, but it's not compulsory. Lord, and now that Jesus has come, no one can claim ignorance. The believer, not the believer, it's not a question of intellect or comprehension, but the moral benefit is closer to the will. When we choose to remain in darkness, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Jesus, the night He was betrayed, the night He was arrested, Jesus told His disciples, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. The source of life and life has come, and it's us to make the choice. John tells us the Jews that made that choice, Jesus' own people did not receive Him. They rejected Him, got the Romans to crucify Him. John writes verse 12 that others have chosen to flip on the switch of faith to receive Jesus, to believe in His name, who He is, and the saving work on our behalf. And John writes that when we choose to believe in Jesus, God gives to us life as His child. God gives to us not a physical birth of the flesh, but 9 months of pregnancy and a delivery or a birth because of something we will to make happen. Our own efforts of spirituality and righteousness, but a spiritual rebirth that comes only because He, God, wills it to be so. When we receive Jesus by believing, by faith, God wills to give us the right to be His children. We become heirs of His eternal promises, to give an extraordinary relationship before Him, for love, for His life, and life on us, and for us. Isn't it, guys, a downright exciting reality, changing truth, a certain hope that is real world by taking the time to narrate them and create God's word to step into? Amen? And finally, John the writer of Jesus, in verse 14, John tells us that Jesus is the incarnate word, right? And the word between Christ and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glorious, and the only thing that God has ever done. The word, the God of God, came to us. It means that the everything that God is, Jesus is, and everything that brings to us, Jesus is mind blowing.
This is a mind blower, isn't it?
But back in John 6, we don't have trouble with that because we heard of the very belief of the promise, but the same thing we can see is inherently evil. And so the great hope of humanity was to escape from this evil small physical reality. In other words, our bodies are evil. And we need to deny the physical in order to reach the end of this God's drawback. John's ministry at the Jordan River was about preparing people and pointing to Jesus, the light of the world, the Lamb of God. And so John's testimony was all about Jesus and God come in the flesh and joy of our humanity to deal with our humanity. Meaning that God did not remain some abstract, out there, unknowable, divine being. And John, describing who Jesus is, John takes the eternal word. Takes us from the eternal word to the incarnate personal Jesus, dwelling among us and revealing God, his life and light in the day-to-day reality and the drama of our lives. And if people believe me, Question number one, hello do you know Jesus? Hello do you know Jesus? And what scripture reveals about him? Not just what we hear about him, but what we say on Facebook, maybe it's not the word. Pursuing Jesus, knowing him more intimately, being devoted to him. What loves you is the totality of who you are. And how do you get to that? What do you think? About what it means to trust him as his Savior. What does that mean to be pursuing him? What could that be like for me? I would encourage you, come and talk to me. I'll ask you to say it. Coffee will still be hot. You know? We will not talk about it. Father, we thank you for which honor is reserved for us here, that when you inspired him to write, the insight that you gave to him, the description that he gives to us of who Jesus is. And we confess to you, Father, that so much of this just kind of blows over our head. There is so much here. And yet, Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us deep insight and understanding to know, to get a glimpse, a perspective of just who Jesus is. And God, that you would choose to love us. Jesus, you would take on the flesh and blood of our humanity and come to us, to live here with us, to bring your life and light into the darkness of our world, and even to go to the cross, to die in our place, with what separates us from you, God, that was taken care of. And that by your grace, we can trust in Jesus as our Savior. And we can know the certainty that you give to us this life with you now and forever. That is beyond our understanding. The Father, I pray for myself, I pray for each one of the spirit that you will help us, especially in these days, to marinate in that truth and to meditate on it. to reflect on it, to rejoice in it, to praise you for the reality of Jesus who has come. And God, that as you would give us opportunity, we pray that you would help us to be aware of the fullness, led, and empowered by the Holy Spirit that we would step into opportunities to share the truth of who Jesus is with others around us. May we be intentional in that. Father, this is just a astounding reality that is too great for us to keep to ourselves. We, in fact, are created for and given the command to share Jesus with others. And we pray, God, that you would lead us into that for your honor and glory. Thank you, Father, so much for all that you have done, arguing and will do yet in us, through us, that you get the honor and glory that is to your name for all. We praise you in the name of our Savior Jesus, who is coming.